even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not.
It gets the people going.
That's how I should start the show whenever I'm talking about postal management. Hey, this is that guy, and this is that show. Today on the podcast, I'm going to take a break from serious issues, and I'm going to talk about a few articles in your contract that are very rarely mentioned, and I'm willing to bet most unions know they're there, but they really don't know they're there. Stand by. Let's have a show. Now, before we discuss these off-the-beaten-path articles, meaning not the popular articles, not the articles you see in grievances every day, I want to make a profound statement, and that is the United States Postal Service, their operating plan, its position for success. The problem the Postal Service has, from my humble view, is none of their managers understand the operating plan and understand how to execute the plan. Every single facility thinks they know better than headquarters, and when operating plans are put out, they always put their own touches on it that skew it up and mess it up, and then they come back to want to blame employees for not operating at a high speed. And I'm kind of tired of that, and you ought to be aware of that as employees. The operating plan is a good operating plan. The problem is this thing they call postal management. Now, if we're going to keep it 100, then we also realize that postal management don't live in a vacuum. They are able to blatantly disrespect our national agreement because mail handlers, we don't have the proper leadership in these local areas that demonstrate to the craft we're on the front line fighting for you. Because see, I believe strong leadership will wake up mail handlers and they will join the fight for contract compliance. I believe that. I also believe that mail handlers are creatures of habits as well. And when they become comfortable with leadership that don't put that extra in, then they just become comfortable with it. Doesn't mean they like it. It means they become comfortable with it. Well, I'm here to say to you, there needs to be new leadership that awakens the mail handler craft and shows them on every occasion, I will fight for you. I will fight hard for you. And I believe when mail handlers understand the leadership is fighting for them, they will join the fight. No more will they be satisfied with, okay, this happens like this. We know it's a contract violation, but it happens all the time, so we're just going to overlook it. No. That's not the leadership that I think the National Postal Mail Handlers Union needs. And that's not the leadership that I offer. Okay, let's get back into some off-the-beaten-path contractual items. Let's talk just for a second. Article 20. Believe it or not, yes, there is an Article 20. And Article 20 deals with parking. And just for the sake of having conversation to let you know, there are a host of other contractual items in your contract that you need to be aware of. Here's one. Recognizing the need for adequate security for employees in parking areas. And while en route to and from parking areas, the employer will take reasonable steps based on the specific need of the individual location to safeguard employee security, including but not limited to establishing liaison with local police authorities, requesting the assignment of additional uniformed police in the area, improving lighting and fencing, and where available, utilizing mobile security force patrols. But it goes just a little deeper. Article 20.3 talks about energy usage. And this might sound funny to some, but when you think about it, it's very relevant. In order to reduce energy usage, the employer and the union will promote the use of carpooling and public transportation where available. Now, that has always been in your contract. And let me just give you an example of what I mean by when we understand what this document means. How many people right now at work could not take advantage of carpooling? But because you are unknowing, you think it's crazy to go and ask your boss for a change based on carpooling. Well, let me tell you something. That's a contractual item. They have to take a look at it. So if we are talking about a liberal leave schedule policy, which we're in, on top of Article 20.3 energy uses, where it talks about carpooling, would it not seem logical that you should be able to request a change of schedule based on COVID needs so that you could carpool to work? And what it sounds like to me is it forces management to do this thing that they can't do. And what I mean by that, I mean manage. I'm going to tell you now, and I'm going to continue to tell you, when you open up your mind to this contract that we have and understand that right now is sufficient to make great improvements in the quality of your work life, let's keep the conversation going with another contractual article that's off the beaten path. And that article is Article 2, Non-Discrimination and Civil Rights. The principal statement from Article 2 reads, "The employer and the union shall agree there shall be no discrimination by the employer or the union against employees because of race, creed, color, religion, national origin, sex, age, or marital status. In addition, consistent with the provisions of this agreement, there shall be no unlawful discrimination against employees as prohibited by the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 or the Vietnam Era Veterans Adjustment Assistance Act of 1974. Now, again, we're talking Article 2, a contractual article that's in your contract. Article 2.2, non-discrimination and civil rights are proper subjects for discussion at labor management committee meetings at the national, regional, area, and local levels provided in Article 38. Article 2.3, we're still talking about civil rights and discrimination. Here it kind of addresses grievances. Grievances arising under this article may be filed at step 2 of the grievance procedure within 14 days of when the employee or the union has first learned or may reasonably have been expected to have learned of the alleged discrimination, unless filed directly at the national level, in which case the provisions of this article for initiating grievances at that level shall apply." Now, we got to talk about that for a minute, because hopefully I'm going to open up a new stream of resource for you when it comes to some of the EEOs that you are contacting myself or one of the other EEO reps about. Listen to me very carefully, postal employees. Hey, APWU members, you check your contract, Article 2. Pretty sure we're still talking about the same thing. You should not have to find an EEO rep to process your grievance for discrimination. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You have resources right inside the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, your stewards, your branch president. These are the people you want to start filing all your Article 2s with. Now, Article 2, this is who you want to file your discrimination grievance with. I read your posts on Facebook. I answer your messages that are sent to me. If this is something that is taking place in your office, again, it has already been provided for you to address this issue via your contract. Now, don't get me wrong. I know most members will seek out an EEO rep because they have very little confidence in their stewards or in a lot of their branches. I don't say that to be mean. I say that because it's true. But members, those folks that you elected, that person you elected as your branch president, and all the stewards that the local president has assigned to that branch president, they're there to ensure your quality of work life is commensurate with contract compliance. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't care how upset they may get at you because you want to file an Article 2 grievance. Rather than look for an EEO rep, you bring that discrimination issue to your union, because let me tell you, they've got resources and personnel much greater than your EEO person is ever going to have. Well, I won't say ever going to have, because hopefully the EEO person will come into all these resources that the National Postal Mail Handlers Union offer. We'll get back to that at another time. But anyway, Article 2, file those grievances with your union. Stop going to EEO personnel, because you can file that grievance at Step 2. Okay? But again, let's not cry wolf. If it is actual discrimination, then it needs to be investigated. Sometimes by talking to myself or one of your union members, I can help you decipher if there is actual discrimination going on. But the point I'm making is, it is a contractual article in your contract. Use it. Hey, that's my podcast for today. I'm going to stay at you pretty regularly for the next 10, 11 months. It is my hope that I demonstrate, explain to members of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union that there is new leadership on the horizon, new leadership that is prepared to wake up the union and through motivation and involvement, get members involved to the point that when we say the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, management stands up.